Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. The Solid Sound Festival will take place at Mass MoCA in North Adams, Massachusetts this coming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The family-friendly music and art festival is curated by the rock band Wilco, and each day this week on the Roundtable, we're speaking with one of the featured artists. Yesterday, we spoke with comedian Paul F. Tompkins, and that interview is available at WAMC.org. Today, we welcome Terry Adams from NRBQ. The band will play in Courtyard D at Mass MoCA on Saturday afternoon. NRBQ was founded in 1967. They're known for their live performances containing a high degree of spontaneity and levity and blending rock, pop, jazz, blues, and Tin Pan Alley styles.
Me and my buddy just like to go, we're having fun, everybody know we don't fuss and we never grab, we just groove taking in the sights. Me and the boys. Just me and the boys.
With a varied career and many think-outside-the-box projects, NRBQ has made music and had fun doing it for almost 50 years. Terry Adams, welcome to the Roundtable.
Oh, thank you. Nice to be here.
So I'm calling you on a 413. Are you familiar with the Solid Sound Festival and Mass MoCA?
I've never been there, but I've heard a lot of good things about it. And I like North Adams. Is that where it is?
It is.
Yeah.
So how were you approached to be part of the Solid Sound Festival, and why did you agree to do it?
Well, I don't know how we were approached, but we agreed because sounds like a nice thing to do and a good place to play. I like playing in the daytime, too.
Why is that?
Well, it's different, you know. It's a different thing when you can see the sun and the trees. It's a different feeling than playing inside, you know. And bringing the whole Wheat Horns with us, and so there'll be six musicians at least. And, so that's all. I'm just saying that.
That's great. What do the whole Wheat Horns add to the set, and how do they change the way you prepare for a concert?
Well, we all react to each other, so having two or other musicians, especially horn players, will affect how we play and how we feel, so... It's hard to say exactly what that is, but playing in the moment is what we do. So there's no, we don't know what it'll be or, you know, there's no real preparation for it except to be alert and tuned into the vibes.
How did you begin including the whole Wheat Horns in NRBQ shows and what made you want to do that?
Oh, they've been with us for many years, mm-hmm. mid-70s, I think. But not every night. So anyway, I just, it's nice when you do bring them out, and we're going to, this month, have them with us. So, and it'll be myself and Scott Legan on guitar, and Casey McDonough, these two guys from Chicago. And our drummer's coming in, he lives in Austin, Texas, named Conrad Shakroon. And so it'll be a great thing when we get together. It's meant to be. A lot of effort goes into us getting in the same spot, so we're just getting together for a few days, and one of them being the festival there.
How did the current lineup come together, and when you are all so scattered to the winds, as it were, all over the country, and how do you work it out when you will play together?
Well, we came together just like any other times that musicians get together in this band from a common interest and knowledge of the history of our music and an open-minded attitude towards the culture in general. And you know, not try not to. It's just not in our vocabulary to be restricting, have a musician who's restricted himself into some kind of category that is predetermined or something. So it's that open-mindedness and willing to be in the moment that attracts musicians to be in this band and for us to hire them.
And how long does it take when you interact with somebody before you find that like-mindedness and you know that they would work in your band?
Well, we know it already, or we wouldn't...
Right, for these guys.
Just from, mm-hmm. Yeah, we know it and get together and... you know, get it better as we go. So, yeah, that's how it works. The happy, happiness factor. I think, you know, people, the genuinely happy musicians make a genuine happy audience. So that's what we have.
When did you know in your life that that kind of happiness that you wanted to bring the audience and you found for yourself would be in music, would be on stage? And because I know you've never looked back from when you decided to be a musician, you've pursued it your whole life, basically. But how did you first discover that? When did you begin playing? When did you know that you would be a musician?
That's a good question. I was a listener, and that's all that mattered to me. And I just kept absorbing music through records and radio or wherever, and sort of gradually realized I could do that. I didn't really ever think about it. It just sort of slowly started turning around, and then I asked a composition. I went to a composer and asked to study composition rather than piano lessons. And he asked me what I wanted to do or why I was there, and I said I want to make music. I want to make music that affects people in the same way that I've been affected by it. And so came together at, some age of 15 or 14. I knew I was doing that, going to be doing it. And it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, you've certainly stuck to it. With that composition training, how much formal training is in your songwriting process throughout the years or even now?
Well, how to say how much, I don't know, but I did learn quite a bit about some of the structures and things I needed to know. And the rest of what I learned was really, really just through listening and absorbing the music. And also just anything else that was going on that was part of our culture, whether it be Deputy Dog on television or, whatever it may be, it just having an open-mindedness towards it was how I formulated whatever I do. It just came naturally to me. Some people want to have more of a category, and I didn't really set out not to have one. It just, but through being myself, it turned out that there wasn't one. I've been told.
Right.
Yeah. But what happens in this band has been really no accident either. Through the years, some players have come and some have gone, but there's a mind to it. There's a purpose to it. It didn't just happen randomly.
And you've been and are the driving force behind that special NRBQ thing. It's a really kind of a Terry Adams thing.
Well, I'm the architect of it, but the other guys have really delivered and contributed beyond anything that you could imagine. So I will be say that I did bring in a lot of the songs from out there. From unknown places, or most of them, and set the band on course in the direction that we've been on in.
It is tricky to talk about, isn't it? To make your career, make your music, know exactly what you're doing with that, but then fairly often have to talk to strangers like me and explain what it is using normal language.
Well, I guess it's sometimes a the reason that we're musicians is because that's how we communicate. So, yeah, you're right. Speaking about it sometimes is difficult.
Do you mind speaking about just over 10 years ago, I guess probably about 11 years ago, NRBQ took a hiatus because you had been diagnosed with cancer. Do you mind talking about what it felt like to come back after that?
It was an experience that enabled or forced me to stop thinking in the same ways that I had been thinking. So I needed to take some time off to think about that, getting through it. So I took some time But I couldn't, I really couldn't wait to play music again. So I guess I did some, finally wound up doing the treatments for this thing in the end of 2005, but by 2006, before I was really had my strength back, I was already involved in getting it going again. It wasn't in me to just stop. The band officially stopped, according to the public. I mean, that's the everybody thought we stopped. But I was only out for just a little while and wanted to get going again. But I had not the same feeling from some of the musicians that had been there to jump back in. So I just kept working at it, and it's been great for me.
You wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah, that's right.
Sometimes you write and record music for children, for kids. Is there really much different in your process when you decide to do that than when you write music that's quote-unquote for adults?
Yeah, I don't think there was much of a difference. Not a lot of difference because we, for the most part, we keep it light and simple anyway when it comes to lyrics.
You mentioned early in our conversation that you like playing during the day, you like playing outside. So have music festivals been a fun place for you to go over the years?
Always. I like playing for an audience who, I like playing for people that aren't used to us, say, you know, or haven't seen us before. It's a lot of fun, all ages and whatever we may come to, which more likely would happen in a festival outside. That's the real fun for me.
Terry Adams, I thank you so much for letting me call you today.
All right, it's been nice talking with you.
I love this love we got. I love this love we got.
NRBQ will perform in Courtyard D at Massmocha in North Adams, Massachusetts as part of the Solid Sound Festival this coming Saturday. Full lineup and schedule available at solidsoundfestival.com. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.